Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
Okay, so many people that I talk to, and I'm sure many people in this room have no idea what it is that God wants us to do. We have like no idea what God's will is for us. And this is something that you hear a lot about in church, where people's like, you need to live out God's will. You need to do God's will. And some of us sit there and think, I have no idea what God's will is for me. And sometimes, I mean, granted, sometimes God, and I have experienced this in my life, where God gives very specific revelations. He opens very specific doors, and he makes it clear what his specific will is for us. Like, for example, when I joined the Marine Corps was one of them. When I accepted this job here at Calvary was another. Those are two times in my life where through a lot of like prayer and listening, God communicated specifically what his will is for us. But other times, this whole concept of God's will for us can be hyped up like so much that people just get lost in the sauce and they're just really confused. And they're like, man, am I even hearing God's voice because God hasn't given me a specific calling and I don't know what to do in my life? How many of you guys in this room, just to be honest, how many of you guys in this room are experiencing that or are feeling some of that right now in your life? Raise your hand. Sweet. A lot of us. Good. And I want you guys to, and I just want to put this out here. I want, church is supposed to be a place where you can be real and you can be transparent and you can be honest, right? We have grown up in this culture. A lot of us have this misconception that church is a place that I'm supposed to go to and that's where I show face. That's where I put on this like show that I've got everything figured out and I'm perfect and there's no struggles in my life. And if you do, then oh my goodness, you must not be a real Christian. That is the opposite of what church is supposed to be. The reason why people go to church is because they know that they're messed up. The reason why people go to church is because they know that they don't have everything figured out. All right, so if you're one of those people that has had that misconception and has thought, when I walk into church, I have to put on face because everyone around me has got everything figured out and they're these like perfect people, you're wrong. And if that's something that you've been doing, I highly encourage you to seriously like pray about where that comes from. Lay aside that, because it is a self-protective thing. Man, we can get so deep into that. Because there's so much stuff involved in that. It's like insecurity, it's pride, it's fear. There's so many things that are involved in like showing face and pretending like you've got everything figured out. But that's a teaching for another day. That's not what we're going to talk about tonight. But anyways, I will just let you guys know that I don't have everything figured out in my life. I am not perfect whatsoever. And the only reason I can be up here and teach you God's word is because of the grace of God. That's it. And so I want you guys to know that. But the good news when it comes to talking about God's will is that there are many passages in Scripture that tell us exactly what to do when we don't know what to do. And there's actually, I mean, a lot of the Bible is exactly what that is. But this passage that we're going to go through specifically hits on what God's will is for you right now today. And this is something that is God's will for you all the time, at all times. This is never not what God's will is for you. So let's get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's see what God has to say about his will for us. I do just want to throw a little side note out there. If you are not the person that takes notes, tonight is the night to become the person that takes notes. And if you don't have a pen and a paper, whip your phone out, because there's this app called Notes, and you can write notes in that trash. And so I encourage you guys, write these things out, think like specific things. You don't have to write down everything I say, because I say some crazy stuff that is not relevant at all, very much. So throw that trash out. And the things that are relevant, that actually, that God is like actually speaking to you and challenging you with, write that trash down and reread that stuff until it is ingrained in your mind, in your heart, and you can live it out. So that's a side note. Now let's get into what God's word says. So again, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 14. And it says this, and we urge you, brothers. Okay, just for context sake, this isn't a lot, but Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica, and so he's talking to Christians right now, all right? That's all I'm going to say. Verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And so we're just gonna go through this passage chunk by chunk. And so starting in verse 14, he says three things: admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak. Let's go through what those three things are. So the first one, admonish the idle. So this word admonish literally means put in mind. And this word idle means those that are deviating from the prescribed order. Okay, so what the heck does that mean in layman's terms? That means that those brothers and sisters in Christ that are straying away from the life that God has for them, right? That are getting pulled into the life of the world. What we ought to do, God's will for us, is to call them out and set them back, get their mindset in the right place. That is what we are called to do as Christians. That's God's will. But I will say this, there is absolutely a wrong way to do this, and there's a right way to do this. Let's talk about the wrong way first. What's the wrong way? You going up to somebody in anger, in annoyance, all puffed up, and you being like, bro, why are you being so stupid right now? Right? It's easy not to party. It's easy not to get drunk and wasted and get high. It's easy not to look at porn. Stop doing that trash, right? Read your Bible and be better. That's the wrong way to go about this. And I can tell you from experience, that's the wrong way, because I have had people that have come to me and communicate, maybe not that exactly, but have come at me in that way, that high and mighty, I am so much better than you, and you need to be better like me sort of way. And 90% of people don't respond to that. And yes, I made that percentage up. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less, I don't know. But most people, I can say, do not respond to that. The Bible gives us very clearly how we ought to come to somebody when they are struggling. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, tells us specifically how we ought to do this. And this is what he says. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, if anyone's caught in any kind of worldly lifestyle, any kind of addiction, any kind of whatever it is that's pulling them away from God, if anyone's caught up in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. He says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So Paul tells us, when you are going and you are correcting someone, when you are admonishing the idle, you ought to be gentle and you need to be careful, because sin is a slippery slope. Jesus says, man, Jesus talks about this concept because it's so much easier. And it's probably because of pride that it's so much easier, but it's so much easier to see the sin in someone else over the sin in yourself. It's so much easier for me to look at other people and be like, wow, they struggle with this and this and this and this and this. And they might be ignorant of that stuff, but I'm aware of it. But it is a lot more difficult for us to be self-aware and humble. And a lot of times, man, and I'm telling you this from experience, all of these sins that you see in other people, if you really think about it and you look closely in the mirror, most of the time we struggle with the exact same thing. It's just more prevalent in other people when we're experiencing the consequences of that. which is really something to consider and think about. Because sin is a slippery slope, and it's really easy to get puffed up with pride when you're correcting someone and think that you're all that, think that you've got it all figured out, that you're perfect and they're messed up and you got to fix them. That is not the right mindset to be in when you are coming and you're correcting someone. You need to be gentle and you need to be careful. And it says right here that we are to bear the burden with the person that is struggling. Right, so he gives us this picture of bearing a burden. And a good way to picture this, let's just say someone is struggling with addiction, right? And they are wrestling with a certain sin. Them fighting it is like picking up like this huge weight, this huge rock, and just trying to like walk with it. They're struggling, they're wrestling. It is not helpful for you to walk up to that person and be like, "Don't put it down. Keep walking. Keep walking. Don't you dare put it down." And just stand right there next to him when you're not struggling with that burden. You don't have that burden. When you can, and this is what we're called to do, come alongside them and actually help bear that burden with them. Help carry that weight with them. That's what we ought to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. When someone is struggling, when somebody is wrestling with something and they want to change, right? Because that's a key component. If somebody does not want to change, if somebody is struggling with a transgression but they like it, and they're not going to pick the rock up, they're just going to leave that thing on the floor because it's easier to just do whatever you want and just feed your flesh. If they don't want to do it, the Bible doesn't say you go and you pick it up for them, because we can't do that, man. If somebody does not want to change, they will not change, all right? But if somebody wants to change, if somebody's really wrestling, if somebody's really struggling, you don't stand there and condemn them. No, you love them and you help bear that burden in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of love, in a spirit of grace. That is what we are called to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is admonishing the idle. That is God's will for you as a Christian. Another thing, what's the next thing he talks about? Encourage the faint-hearted. So those that are like really battling with their faith, those that are really battling with their walk with Jesus, maybe it's because they've been beaten down with anxiety or they've been beaten down with depression. Maybe it's because they just experienced some serious loss. And I mean, no matter what that is, whether it's a life or a job or a person, maybe it's just because they're overwhelmed with life. We are called to encourage those that are faint-hearted. We encourage them with our presence. We encourage them with the truth of God's word. We encourage them with the promises of God. I am going to be, again, just transparent with you guys. Again, yesterday, I was one of these faint-hearted individuals. Yesterday, at 1:30, I got this panic attack, and I had never experienced panic attacks before in my life until like 6 months ago. And this is like the third one. And this trash is so annoying. It's so annoying to deal with these things. Your heart's just going crazy and your mind's spinning and you're trying to focus and you can't. But anyways, so from like 1:30 for a few hours, and I was supposed to teach at youth yesterday, but I got to my office, my heart's going crazy, my mind's going crazy, and I like could not. There was all kinds of like thoughts that were going through my head. And so I had to sit down and like write these thoughts out, because it's so much easier to discern what is true and what is a lie when you actually have something like written down on paper. So if you guys ever experience these things, that's just like a practical encouragement I have for you. But I was like struggling yesterday, like mentally, spiritually. And man, I can guarantee that it was a spiritual attack, because it was not like those anxiety attacks that I've had where I'm just like totally chill mentally, but my heart's going crazy. Like my mind was just racing. But people like Stephen and Jason and these other, like Zach, these people that were at youth helped bear that burden for me, were there to take care of all the responsibilities that I had, were there to like hear me out, and I'm sure like pray for me and be there for me. So it's not like all of us are, those of us that have been walking with Jesus for a while are just immune to these things. Like sometimes we go through like some serious attacks. Sometimes we have days where we are faint-hearted. And in those moments, we need to go to our brothers and sisters in Christ and ask for prayer, man, ask for help. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be there for them, to love them, man, to encourage them, to pray for them. That is what we do. That is God's will for us as Christians. The next thing he says is to help the weak. Help those that are at the bottom of society, right? A very practical thing that we just did, I think it was the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Like Tony and Jason set up that whole, we were collecting like jackets and all kinds of stuff for the homeless. And so that Saturday we packed that stuff up and we went to Santa Rita Park and we were just handing this stuff out, talking with people, like praying with people. That is a very practical way to help the weak. Those that have nothing, those, whether it be physical or emotional or spiritual, those that are at the bottom, man, we are called to fill those physical and spiritual needs as followers of Jesus, as Christians. That is God's will for us every day. The next thing he says is be patient with them all, right? And this is something that some of us are going to be challenged with right now. We are called to be patient with those that are straying, to be patient with those that are faint-hearted. I don't know why I keep saying it like that. Faint-hearted. I'm going to say it like that. Faint-hearted. Patient. Sorry. I got distracted right there. Patient. Let's just bring it back. We are called to be patient with those that are straying. We are called to be patient with those that are faint-hearted. That was better. Patient with those that are weak. That is how. That, what that literally means is to not lose heart. Not lose heart. And that means we don't get frustrated with them. And as tempting as it may be, we don't just give up on them completely. When you see homeless people walking down the street or in the crosswalk because they're high and the light's green, but they're right in the middle of the crosswalk, we don't get frustrated at these people. And we are called to be patient and loving towards these individuals. Empathize with these people. Man, when you go and you have these conversations, and I'm so thankful that we did that, going to Santa Rita, man, and just talking with these people, these are human beings, man. These are people made in the image of God. These are people that have gone through some horrible experiences in life, man. Horrible experiences in life. And they are slaves to the lifestyle that they are in. They are slaves to drugs. They are slaves to just this. I mean, man, it's such a sobering experience to go and talk with these people and look them in the eye, man, and like pray with them. So I highly encourage you guys to do that. And I'm so thankful that we did that. And we're going to do that more consistently. But anyways, we are called to be patient with these people, to love them, to pray for them. Verse 15 says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Oh, snap. Now we're getting deep. Do not pay evil for evil. What does that mean practically? When somebody badmouths you, you don't dish it back. When somebody talks trash behind your back, you don't go behind their back and start talking trash. When somebody cuts you off, you don't use certain fingers and you don't use certain words to get back at the, nice, the thumbs up. Love you. Different finger. But you don't use certain fingers, you don't use certain words to get back at these people, to make these people feel stupid for what they just did. When your barista or your customer service rep or drive-through employee or insurance adjuster, oh snap, when they start getting sassy with you and they start getting short and rude, you don't dish it back. You stay calm, cool, and collected. Instead, you do good. Instead, you remain patient. You remain respectful. You remain loving and kind and gentle and self-controlled. That is God's will for you, Christian, for you, follower of Jesus. And it sounds crazy and it sounds impossible. And it is, without the Holy Spirit inside of us. But when we literally have God's Spirit in us, man, and when we submit ourselves to that and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and we are conscious about these things and we don't just like get sucked into and we fight that temptation to react instead of be patient and loving and respectful, man, God works in us and he works through us. This is what God's will is for all Christians, for you at all time, no matter where you are. In verse 16, it says, rejoice always. And I talked about this a little bit at Friendsgiving, but this is so much deeper than just being happy all the time. Because how can I be happy when my wife is having a miscarriage? How can I be happy and rejoice when a loved one dies? How can I be happy when my dad starts abusing alcohol? Another place Paul writes about this is in Romans chapter 12. And what he writes there specifically is rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. And we can still have joy in the midst of incredibly difficult circumstances because our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in what happens to us. Our hope is in Jesus, that he is in control, that he is in, that he is present in the midst of all circumstances, that we are loved by him. Man, that we are totally and completely loved by him, that we are righteous in his eyes because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, and that we get to spend eternity with him no matter what happens to us here and now. We can rejoice in hope. Everything I just said is true in every circumstance, no matter how you're feeling. Whether you're feeling good or you're feeling bad, guess what? You're still a child of God. Whether you're feeling good or you're feeling bad, guess what? You're still loved by God. What if I don't feel loved by God? Guess what? Your feelings are wrong. You are loved by God. We can rejoice in hope. Verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. That means pray without stopping. Be in constant communication with God. And I say this all the time, but it is insane that we even get the opportunity to be in any kind of conversation for any amount of time with the master of the universe, with the king of the universe. That, and because he is so far above us in every way. In every single category, in every single aspect, he is infinitely above us. Yet, he has made it possible for you and for me to talk with him. And he actually, like, hears us. Because, I mean, realistically, and we've all probably had those encounters, right, where we're talking at somebody, but they're not even listening to us. And, I mean, and maybe, I'm not saying this from personal experience or anything, but maybe there's, like, a picture of somebody, and you've talked to them before. And I'm gonna take this off of me. I'm gonna put this on somebody else. So there was this one time, story time. There was this one time, back in the Disney, when Lord of the Rings just came out, the Twin Towers, and that trash was awesome. I mean, it was the worst movie of the three, but it's still, again, like relatively, that movie's amazing. Compared to the other two, not as great. But anyways, sorry, that doesn't matter. But Aragorn was always like my favorite character. My brother's favorite character was Legolas. And so my brother had a poster of Legolas in his room, Orlando Bloom. Good looking dude, right? Sorry. I say this because there was this family that came over to our house. All right, calm down. There was this family that came over to my house, right? And one of the girls just had this huge crush on Orlando Bloom. And I go to walk into our room, and this girl is in our room, and she's sitting on his bed, and she's talking to Legolas. Like, he's just, like, listening to her. She's just talking to him, and I was like, dude, this is crazy. But anyways, all that, how do we bring this back? Talking to God is not like talking to a poster. There it is. Look at that. Full circle. God actually hears you when you speak to him. Stop. Okay, we got to bring it. All right. Everyone take a breath. It's over. Coming back. When you pray, you are actually communicating with the God of the universe. You are actually communicating with the master, the king of the universe. And you can do it at any place, and you can do it at any time. He actually wants you to speak to him nonstop. Some of us get really annoyed when people talk to us constantly, and they always want to be talking to us. God is not that kind of person. He actually wants to hear from you constantly and consistently. He wants to be in that height of a relationship with you. And prayer, man, prayer is one of those things where it's like, it is us communicating with God, but it's, I mean, this is the way that God works most things. Because prayer is something that is so beneficial to us as well. Prayer keeps our mind, right, off of our circumstances, off of the things of this world, and it allows us to like experience life and go through life with a heavenly perspective where God is involved in everything that we're doing. And when God's involved in it, man, your anxiety levels go way down. Your depression levels go way down because you're not thinking and you're not consumed in this bubble where you don't know what's going to happen. You are bringing God into it, knowing that he is faithful, he is consistent, he works all things together for the good. And that's the kind of mindset that he wants us to have, that we're called to have. That's the kind of relationship that he desires with us, praying without ceasing. And then verse 18, this is it. This is the last thing, and then we'll be all donezo. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The last thing he says is give thanks in all circumstances. Understanding that the life that you have been given is a gift. Every breath you take, every beat that your heart makes is a gift from God. So you can give thanks in all circumstances because the God of the universe, the sovereign God that is in control of all things, is for you and he is not against you. Man, so you can absolutely, he calls you son or daughter. He tells you that he loves you. He works all things together for the good. We can give thanks in all circumstances, knowing that he is faithful, knowing that he has created us in his image, that he has given us, man, just the world, just nature in itself. There's so many things that when we sit back, that we can be thankful for, the fact that we can walk around, man, the fact that we can see, that we can communicate, that we can hear, the fact that we get to experience relationships and family and look at things like sunsets and mountains and animals and like all of these ridiculous blessings that we take for granted consistently, man, God's will for us is to take a step back and really consider all the things that we have to be thankful for and thank him for it. We can be thankful in all circumstances. And so if you don't know what God's will is for you, now you know. This is what God has called. This is the kind of life that God has called you to live. This may not communicate to you whether he's called you to a different job or not, but how you live every day in your family, how you live every day in your current job, how you live every day in college when you go through the drive-thru, when you talk to insurance adjusters, all this, and you talk to your waitresses that are being sassy. This is the kind of life that God has called you to live. This is his will for you every single day. And so this is a very good way to start living your life. Now you know what God's will is for you tomorrow. And so like I said, for those of you that did take notes, read this, man. If wake up in the morning, if this is, I encourage you, man, if you need to, wake up in the morning and read this. Read this passage. Read through your notes. Man, really ask God to fill you with the Spirit and give you opportunities to be his hands and feet to this world, to be the light of the world and show, man, this world how loving and gracious and beautiful he is, because that's what we're called to do. We are his ambassadors to this world, and this is how he lives. This is how Jesus lived. This is how Jesus loves, and that's what we're called to do as his followers. So let's pray, and then we'll do one more song of worship. So Father, we do just come before you in this place, in this moment. Lord, and we do just first of all, repent of our shortcomings. Lord, we repent of our sin, our selfishness, where we have been repaying evil for evil. God, I just ask that you would forgive us, Lord, that you would empower us to be the kind of people that love in unlovable circumstances, that give us patience, God, when we have none. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you give us such practical things in your word. And so I just ask, Father, that you would give us everything that we need to live this kind of life out. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are the kind of God that desires to have this kind of relationship with us. You are so good. You are so awesome. You are so holy. And so we praise you, God. We worship you. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey everyone, Pastor JD here. You've been listening to a teaching from Ignition Tucson, the Young Adults Ministry of Calvary Tucson. If you live in the greater Tucson area and you're between the ages of 18 to 28, we want to invite you to join us in person. We meet every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. at Calvary Tucson's East Campus on Speedway and Camino Seco. Come join us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace.